Evidence and Answers begins right now. This is Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukeran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. In today's episode of Evidence and Answers, we tackle one of the most challenging conversations parents and teachers face today: how to talk to children about sex and sexuality. Our guest is Elizabeth Urbanowitz, founder of Foundation Worldwide, who has created a powerful new mini-series called The Talk, Made Easy, to help parents introduce biblical truths to children ages 4 to 7. Now, let's jump right in. Here's Pat now.
This is Evidence and Answers, where we provide compelling evidence for faith and hope in Christ and biblical answers to the issues of today. Well, today we have a challenging topic before us that all parents, teachers, aunts, uncles, grandparents, anyone who works with children will face. How do we talk about sex and sexuality with our children? Well, to help us address this challenge is Elizabeth Urbanowitz. She's the founder and CEO of a great ministry we highly endorse here, Foundation Worldview. Elizabeth spent many years teaching elementary education, and there she saw a need to help prepare children in the Christian worldview and apologetics. And Elizabeth now works full-time on developing comparative worldview and apologetics resources for children. Very valuable ministry here. So the goal of her and her ministry is to prepare the next generation to be lifelong critical thinkers, and most importantly, lifelong disciples of Jesus Christ. So Elizabeth, welcome back to Evidence and Answers.
Well, thanks so much for having me on today, Patrick. I always like chatting with you.
Yeah, you're becoming a regular here. You know, we're talking about a new mini-series that you have produced called The Talk, Made Easy. It helps Christian parents introduce foundational truths about sex to children ages 4 to 7. So, Elizabeth, this is a sensitive topic, and it seems awfully young. Why should we address the issues of sex and sexuality at the preschool and elementary age?
Yes, a lot of times when I recommend to parents that they start having the first of many sex talks with their children around the age of 4 or 5, you know, people gasp thinking like, I thought I could hold off, you know, till my child was like 10 or 11 or 12. And there are really two main reasons why I encourage parents to start these conversations at a very young age. And the first reason is that the first person who talks with us about a topic usually becomes the expert in our minds. My friend Hillary Ferrer at Mama Bear Apologetics, she calls this the founder's effect. And I've just seen this even in my own life. I think about whenever I have an issue with my home, the first person I call is my dad. Now, my dad lives 1,000 miles away from me. And right here on my block, I have men and women who are much more skilled in home repair than my dad. But why do I call my dad first? Because he was the first one to talk with me about home repair issues and to walk me through, you know, like what it looks like to check your HVAC system, you know, things like that. And so in my mind, he's the expert. And we live in a world that is aggressively promoting ideas about sex and sexuality on children at younger and younger ages. And if we want to be the primary voice influencing our children's understanding of sexuality, we need to make sure that we have these conversations before the world does. So that's the first reason I recommend starting these conversations so young. The second reason is to make sure that our children understand the goodness of God's design, that our world has so twisted the gift of sexuality that often our children are going to be exposed to twistings or corruptions of God's good design at a very young age. For example, I live in a very conservative neighborhood, you know, in the southeastern half of the United States. But right on my block, there are a number of couples who are same-sex couples. And so there are tons of, you know, dozens of children that live on my street. And so they've already been introduced to homosexuality at a very young age. And if we as Christian parents wait until our children have been exposed to a form of sexual deviation that's a deviation from God's good design, our first conversations with our children are going to be backpedaling. We are going to have to talk about how we as humans in our sinful nature have corrupted the gift of sexuality before our children even understand what the goodness of that gift is. So before we encounter any corruptions, out in the world around us or even within our own hearts, we need to make sure that we are laying a positive, biblically based theology of God's good design for sexuality with our children. So those are the two main reasons why I encourage parents to have these conversations at very young ages.
Yes, you mentioned that the culture, and it seems to have gotten more aggressive in exposing children to sex and sexuality. You mentioned one example there in your neighborhood, but how are children often first exposed to sex and sexuality? And usually, what age are they first being exposed to this kind of stuff?
Yes. Well, a lot of it depends on the circumstances, where children are growing up, what their educational setting is, what their church setting is, what kind of neighborhood they are involved in. However, even if a child is just watching, simple like safe shows, I just put up air quotes to say safe, shows, they're going to be exposed to the idea of romantic relationships between people of the same sex, probably around the age of 5. And even if we're just looking at billboards as we go down the street or, meeting our neighbors, it's usually somewhere around the age of 5 or 6 that children are first exposed to concepts related to sexuality. I know for myself, I grew up in the 90s, so we're talking like 3 decades ago now, but I know that in my kindergarten class, there were children who were talking about sex, and that's 30 years ago. And so if that was happening back in the 90s, you know that that is also happening today, because even if we as Christian parents are very careful at monitoring what our children are exposed to media-wise, the other children in their sphere of influence are going to have different limitations and boundaries at home. So even if our kids only go to church, even if they're homeschooled and they only go to church, there's still going to be other kids at church who have been exposed to more than our kids have been exposed to. So what I like to tell parents is that protection, it doesn't equal complete isolation, it equals preparation. That we don't just want to say, like, yes, are there things that we need to protect our children from? Absolutely. On our household devices, should we have filtering software so that we are trying to block as many pornographic images as possible? Absolutely. We should have that type of isolation. However, when it comes to these different topics, rather than isolating our children, we need to prepare them.
Yeah, I noticed growing up watching Disney movies, it was cartoons, Snow White and Cinderella and all that. But when you watch the remakes now, they're a lot more, what's the word, graphic, and they're introducing some of this stuff that you're talking about in the Disney movies that we grew up watching. And a lot of us, just caught completely off guard here.
Yeah, and that's again why preparation is so important, because yes, we have to be discerning about what we let in our homes. However, if we just make this rule, like no Disney movies, until you're 12, like that's probably unrealistic. I was just babysitting for my 3 and 2 year old niece and nephew last week, while my sister and her husband were off at a wedding in Europe, and they don't watch any TV. Like they have never seen, any episodes of shows. They've never seen any movies. But everywhere we went, whenever there was a picture of the characters from Frozen, my niece knew who they were. She hasn't been exposed to any of this in her own home, but she still knew it. So this is why we need to have these conversations with our children at a young age, so that we don't need to just isolate them from everything. But when they encounter these different topics, in the culture or in the media, we can then have a biblically grounded conversation with them.
Yeah, now a lot of parents are hesitant to raise the issue with their children. They kind of wait till the children start asking questions. And so, How do you raise the issue with children this young?
Yes. So for parents of children who are between the ages of 4 and 7 or 8, I say that you can have three very simple conversations with them. Three separate conversations. It doesn't need to be this one long sit-down conversation, but have three simple conversations. And the first one should be about body parts. Okay. So about the basic difference between male and female anatomy. The second one should be just the very, very basics of the act of sexual intercourse. And then the third one should be the very, very basics of reproduction. And so, what we recommend at Foundation Worldview is that in this first conversation about body parts, just introduce it in a really natural way. You know, with children, talk about, what are their favorite toys and talk about the different toys they like to play with, and then talk about any special toys that they have, and then talk through how they treat those toys differently than their other toys. You know, talk about, like maybe this Lego set or this doll or, this game. You don't let anybody else who comes over this house play with. You know, you keep it in a safe location. You're very careful with how you use it because it's a very special toy. And then make that connection and say, just like we have toys that are special, that we take special care of, God has also given us parts of our body that are very special, that we take special care of. And that's where you actually introduce the anatomically correct terms for genitalia. Talk about, you're a boy, so this is the special part of the body that God has given you. You're a girl, so this is the special part of the body that God has given you. And then say, explain the names of these parts, but then say, these are parts that are so special. Nobody should see these parts or touch these parts, unless mommy or daddy is helping take care of you, or a doctor is examining you to make sure that you are healthy. And then say, we call these parts your private parts because they should be kept private. And then, you can ask your child if they have any questions, and that's the end of that conversation. And some parents might be thinking, oh my goodness, Elizabeth, you don't know my 6-year-old and all the questions they're going to ask. Well, you don't need to freak out if they ask you a question that like shocks you, surprises you, confuses you. You can say, that is a really great question. I am so happy you are thinking about this really carefully. You know what? Just give me a little bit more time to think about it, and we're going to come back and talk about that tonight, or tomorrow, or anytime within the next 24 hours when you have time to gain your composure and think through, this question and how to answer. So that's the first conversation. Second conversation's just the basics of the act of sexual intercourse. And the way we recommend that parents introduce this to children is talk about, have you ever made a promise to someone? And then talk about different promises your child has made, or if they haven't made any promises, at that young age, talk about different promises that you have made to them. And then to say, sometimes when people make a very serious promise, they do something to show that this is a serious promise. Like they might shake hands, or they might lock pinkies, or if it's really serious, they might sign a paper, to say that they are promising to fulfill this commitment. And then you can say, did you know that marriage is a promise too? That's right. And you can take them right to the second chapter of Genesis, where it says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And say, God, when he established marriage, he gave an act that seals the promise of marriage. And then you explain the very, very basics of what sexual intercourse is, and then say, if that sounds strange to you, that's okay, because who is sex for? That's right, it's for a husband and a wife. Are you going to get married anytime soon? No, you're not going to get married anytime soon. So if it doesn't make sense to you right now, that is okay. Then again, you can ask if they have any questions, close up that conversation. Third conversation about reproduction. We recommend parents take their kids on a walk to go out, whether it's looking at neighbors' yards or in the forest, just find some flowers, note how beautiful the flowers are, and then say, do you know how the flowers started growing? That's right, there were seeds, and the seed was planted in the ground. And then when it got some water and sunlight, it started growing. And then to make the connection, say, do you know that God gave us in our bodies something that is like a seed? And then explain that women have something like a seed that's called eggs, and men have something that's like a seed that's called sperm. And then say, when a man's sperm meets a woman's egg, a baby starts to grow, and then talk about how we've seen a lot of women who have babies growing inside of them. And you may have wondered how the baby got there. And the answer to that question is sex. And then explain that that's how a man's sperm can meet a woman's egg. Again, ask if your child has any questions about that. And if you need time to respond to their questions, buy yourself time, affirm their question, and then come back to it. But that's just the very, very basic conversation. So I hope by hearing that, parents of young children are now thinking like, oh, it's not that complicated. You know, I can have these three simple conversations with my child. And the great thing about having these conversations when children are under the age of 8 is in these conversations, there's only one person who feels awkward. And it's us as the adult. The child at this age feels no discomfort. You know, they're just curious and they might have questions. But now, because you have been the first one to talk about these things with them, they're going to come to you with their questions, which is exactly what you want. You know, when they hear things on the playground or they see something on a show or they see something in the community, you want them to come to you with that question, not to somebody else.
You made a good point. I mean, you talked about hearing it on the playground. I remember the first time I was exposed to this kind of stuff. I was about 6 years old. It was with my baseball buddies, but it's because they all had older brothers who were teenagers. And their older brothers were talking about this and talking to them about it. And you know how crazy, wild teenage boys are. And so at 6 years old, the guys on my team were talking about this stuff and making jokes about women's parts and sex and all this. And yeah, so I was exposed to it right there at 6 years old on the baseball team. So I think what you're saying is really important that we address that issue first, because and don't be shocked with what the kids may ask, because like me, I was hearing all this stuff from the older teenage guys that were hanging around us, you know, little brothers. And so how can parents prepare not to be shocked? I mean, how do you prepare someone for that?
Well, I think going into these conversations to just tell yourself beforehand, okay, I'm going to push through this. I'm going to do this. And no matter what my child says, I'm going to try to keep a poker face on. You know, like you can be internally shocked and thinking, oh my goodness, where did you hear that? You know, like, or where did you see that? Or who told you that? But just to remain calm. And I think when we prepare ourselves ahead of time, that can go a long way. And even just practice, you know, like, what will I say if my child says something that shocks me? You know, and just having a response ahead of time. You know, there used to be the saying that was like, practice makes perfect, where I don't think that's true. And our practice doesn't tend to make our performance perfect. But I once heard this saying, it has a lot, it's an alliteration, so I might not get it correct, but it's something like proper prior planning prevents poor performance. And so I think that's the same, you know, in these conversations with our kids. If we can plan ahead of time, just okay, I'm going to have this expression on my face no matter what is said. And then this is what I'm going to say if my child says something that shocks me. And it can be as simple as, that's a great question. We're going to talk about that more later. You know, it can be as simple as that. And you can say that. But even if our children tell us something that shocks them, like for example, Patrick, you know, if your parents, like let's say your parents had talked with you about this at six, and then you had mentioned something that you heard, you know, at baseball practice, you know, your parents might have like fallen out of their chairs, you know, hearing what you already knew or had already been told. But just you explaining what you had been told would be very helpful to them to know, oh, this is where he's heard this. This is who is influencing him, you know, just so that they knew where this was coming from. So even if our children say something that we're like, oh my goodness, where did you hear that? Where did that come from? Even just knowing that they've heard that or that they're thinking that can be very helpful for us, you know, because some parents might, you know, sadly, they might find out that their child has already, you know, stumbled across pornography when they were just, you know, playing like a simple educational game on an iPad. And like, as shocking and terrible as that is, you want to know that now when your child is six, right? You don't want to find that out when they're 16 and they've been hooked on this for 10 years. And so that's another reason why having these conversations at such a young age is so important, because it can give us information about what are our children already hearing? What are they already exposed to? These conversations are also important because they can help us protect our children against sexual abuse. I was just listening to a biography this past weekend, just from an actress on a show that I had appreciated. And anyway, her story was terrible, that she was terribly sexually abused by an older brother starting around the age of six. But she mentioned how, you know, nobody had ever told her, these parts of her body were special. You know, nobody had ever told her that, you know, nobody should touch these parts of your body or do anything with them. So when we're having these conversations at a young age, even though it's uncomfortable for us, really what we're doing is we are protecting our children through preparing them.
Yes, this past week, we're talking here, this is 2025 when we're recording this show. A case, went to the Supreme Court, Wisconsin versus Yoder, and what it revealed is that in our public schools and public libraries, they're lined with books introducing children pre-kindergarten through fifth grade to the LGBTQIA lifestyles. How do you address the transgender and homosexual issue with your kids?
Well, this is again why having these initial conversations is so important, because you can't explain what homosexuality is or what transgenderism is if your children don't have a basic understanding of what gender is or what marriage is. And so then when you have those basic understandings, you can revisit these topics with your kids and talk about, you know, like, how did we learn that God designed us, you know, and read with them Genesis 1:27, you know, it says, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And talk about, that's right, God created us in his image as male and female. And then talk through, okay, is being created in God's image a choice that we get to make? No, that's a design decision that God already made. We're created in his image, whether we like it or not. And then say, okay, being male or female, is that a choice we get to make? No, that's another design decision that God already made. And then we can talk with our kids about, you know, sometimes our feelings on the inside are really, really strong. And sometimes our feelings point us towards what is true. And you can give, you know, your kids an example of when their feelings pointed them towards what is true. You know, like when your brother was crying yesterday and you felt really sorry for him and you went over and you comforted him, that feeling was pointing you towards what was true. Then give them an example of a time when a feeling didn't point them towards what is true. You know, remember the other day when your brother took your truck without asking and your feeling of anger led you to go and push him down the stairs? That feeling did not lead you to what was true, because what was true is, you know, you should have told him that was wrong and asked for your truck back, but not pushed him down the stairs. Then say, you know, sometimes people's feelings inside trick them about whether they're a boy or a girl. Like sometimes a girl's body might reveal that she's a girl. That's how God designed her. But on the inside, she might feel like she's a boy. And so she decides that the truth is that she's a boy. But what is the truth? Right. The truth is God designed her as an image bearer who is female, and her body reveals that. So just having these basic conversations, you know, and then having a basic conversation about marriage. You know, marriage is one man and one woman becoming one flesh for life. And then talk about, okay, so how did God design marriage? It's one what? That's right, one man and one what? One woman, right? And we learned that it takes a man's body and a woman's body to become one flesh. And it's only with a man's body and a woman's body that a family can be started, you know, that there can be children. And then talk about, well, sometimes, you know what, our feelings trick us in marriage as well. Sometimes two men decide that they feel like they want to get married, or two women feel like they want to get married. But does that go along with God's design for marriage? No, it doesn't. So just giving them a basic understanding of what these things are, so that then if our children encounter them, you know, whether it's they're in a public school and they're exposed to this through a book, or whether it's like we just went to the library with our kids and they pull a book off the shelf and come, you know, give it to us to go check out. And we're like, oh my goodness, you know, I see exactly what this book is. So that way, if we can have these conversations with our kids first, then when they encounter these things in books, they're already prepared with a biblical framework through which to filter these ideas.
Once again, we've run out of time. Thank you for joining us here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number is 483-0586, or you may email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit the subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Just log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukeran.